You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. It is Tuesday night in Los Angeles. I am Nick Newmont and my lovely wife.
Audrey. Hello.
She Good to is see you back. All. And
we're scrolling. Okay. Here you are.
Okay, hold on here.
All these technical things. You'd think that once I get back, it would be instantly cured, but no, here we are.
No watch party from my Facebook page. Not working.
Just take your phone and give it to me. I'll do it.
Okay.
Got it.
There we go. Thank you. Anyway, I must be the king of technical difficulties because last week, as you know, we started late because there were things that went on in Audrey's absence that I just had no idea how to fix that. And fortunately, she was available by phone to say, oh, you plug this and you unplug this.
In the middle of the woods. Thank you.
Yep. Very good. Anyway, so.
Hi, Kirby.
How was your trip?
My trip was excellent, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit more as we get into the evening, because I have some fun stories that I want to share, so stick with us, and we're going to get to some interesting topics tonight, though I didn't have any bears this time, sorry.
Or raccoons.
No raccoons. To get in the tent. No critters at all, not even spiders.
But you actually slept in the car a little bit because it was cold and windy.
It was super windy when I got there. And the cool thing is I just got this new car and it has the whole roof is like a moonroof, sunroof. But for me, it was a moonroof. So I was able to sleep in the back. It was super comfortable. And while I'm laying there, I'm looking at the moon and the stars and it was just incredible. It was really beautiful. So thank you to Dennis at Infinity. We love you. He talked me into that one.
We do. Yeah, definitely. And it was, for those of you that got out and about this weekend, the moon was incredible. It was a Libra moon opposing the Aries sun. And it was pretty powerful. So,
next time I'll be at the full moon because it was not quite there yet.
So, cool. And, one of the things that Well, let's talk about classes coming up. If that pertains. We're going to talk a lot about timeline mapping. Over the next three Saturdays, we have classes coming up. This coming Saturday, April 3rd, Audrey is presenting a timeline workshop. It's called Timeline Mapping, and she's going to get into that a lot tonight. That's the crux of the show. And then on Saturday, April 10th, is Audrey's Crystal Artwork class, and if you have never seen what Audrey makes out of crystals on canvas, it is stunning and breathtaking. And people just love it. I mean, she sells it. It's not just hanging around.
Actually, I've sold a lot of them. Yeah. This time I'm going to have this one stone. I don't think it's a stone. It's more of a mineral, right? A mica.
Yeah, golden mica.
And it's such a fun thing to play with. You just can't mess it up. So you can just slap it down anywhere, and it's just beautiful, whatever you do with it. So for those of you that like playing with stones and want to make your own piece of artwork, the mica is another, it's a great thing to do because it's also not so expensive. So
Right. Exactly. And then on Saturday, April 17th, we have the vision board workshop with myself, and that is where you make what's called a treasure map or an intentional board, words to set intentions and to manifest what you want. And that's a fun workshop because in that one you're basically like a kindergarten kid with scissors and paper and a board
and glitter
and inspiring words and making this collage. Things that you want to attain. And the cool thing is, those things really work. I have had closer to that workshop, I'll talk more about them, but I've had great success with vision boards. And, to the folks over the last, number of weeks that took two different focus on success classes, they're doing very well. and using the journal, mm-hmm. you know, that we set them up with. And, you know, even myself, I've shared with you, there's things that I've learned in there that have happened.
Right.
So it's really cool. You can get whatever you want. You can manifest whatever you want. You just have to put your mind to it, your will to it, and keep affirming it, you know, every night. Yeah.
Yep, no, lock and load.
Exactly. Or get loaded. No. Some of them out there are going, yeah, that's a good idea. I want to take a moment before we get to two and just thank from last week, Catherine Melton for filling in.
For she you. Did a great job. Yeah,
she did a good job. And I want to have Catherine back on the show, not just as a co-host, but as a guest to get to know her better and yeah. her spiritual and metaphysical background and what she's all about. She's a very fascinating person.
Maybe we can have her next week.
Well,
we'll ask.
You know what? Ask her. And at some point, you know, I'm full swing in high school softball right now. So maybe every once in a while you have a guest on and I'll take the night off.
Well, I plan on having Lisa Whiteback, so yeah. I'll have her on.
Lisa Whiteback. Lisa White back Lisa on Walsh. The show.
Yes.
Yeah, Lisa's awesome. And, you know, the funny thing is that Catherine, I met Catherine around 1995 and met Lisa like 1999 in there. So they're two people that have been in our lives
a long time.
And we cherish them and value them. So they'll be back on and not to be forgotten. Alexandra, channeling Golden Arrow. And thank you to everyone that watched and made comments. And, you know, it was good. It was very good.
I'm going to just say we're going to have them both act on again really soon because there was a little bit of a problem with the sound, the technical difficulty with the sound. So we're going to have them back on again so that you can hear Merlin a little bit better. So I don't know exactly when it'll be, but it'll be soon.
And we also are going to have live here at the Newmont Center a Sunday event, Golden Arrow and Merlin, you know, channeling. That's a fun day if you've never attended one of those because it's almost all day. And there's like an hour and a half of Golden Arrow, and then she takes a break, an hour and a half of Merlin, and then I take a break. And after the break, both of them come on.
So fun when they talk together.
I've watched some of the replays. It is fascinating to have them commune, which I think is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. All right. So lots of fun stuff coming up here at the New Moon Center. Next week, also, we're going to talk about some crystals. So on Monday nights, we have Sacred Geometry going on. It's a 10-week course. And in that course, we introduce crystals. This is a level 3 group that's studying, and I get a lot more crystals in that are advanced. Now, we have a new crystal that Audrey wants to show. This is called Trona, okay?
Actually, you can't see the color because the green that's in it is not showing up, obviously.
Because of the green screen, yes.
But where you see the holes, that's green, and it's a nice deep purple. And it is a gorgeous stone, and it is...
It's very calming, very soothing. It's very good for lowering stress, lowering blood pressure, and it's named Trona, and it comes from Owens Lake in North Central California, and it has nothing to do with the town Trona, which is known as the meth capital of California.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with that stuff. Okay, it's just what that stone is named. It is drop dead gorgeous, and a bunch of other stuff that we'll be able to show. So I want to share a story with everyone that I told you about. And as a coach, you know, you do encounter personalities, the players and the parents, and you know. I think that I do have a little bit of an advantage being a therapist and dealing with people. And also, you know, when Audrey talks about, you know, effective communication and how to talk to people, this is very effective. And so I had, with COVID, you know, we lost a whole season last year, and we started playing immediately in the spring season with no winter tournaments for us to get a good look at girls and potential and get them playing time. And so we are, after two games into the season, I told my team that I was going to change the lineup around a little bit this week because we have three games in 4 days. And you have to be careful with your, you don't overpitch your pitchers, you don't burn out your catchers too early. And you got to get girls in that deserve to play. And remember, in high school, there are girls that are less talented. They don't get in very often. It's not rec league. There's no rule that everybody has to play. Because, and if you don't know this yet, in high school sports, you know, you play and coach in high school sports. That's what it's all about. Okay. So what happened was I literally said to the team yesterday before the game that I'm going to make some changes, and it has nothing to do with bad play consequences. Nobody did anything wrong. Just through the week, there's going to be a few changes, but please, at the end of the game or during the game, please don't come and ask me about it. Okay. Cause I'm telling you from now. All right. So doesn't one of the players who is a bit emotionally volatile come up to me, and she, you know, when she was on the bench, she was sort of sulky and pouty and, you know, not being the best teammate, and came up to me and said, well, I don't understand why. And I said, look, one, I told you guys before the game what I was going to do. I also said, please don't come up to me and ask me what's going on, because I said, there's nothing wrong. I just get to take a couple, good look at a couple people. And there were two different girls that sat. Okay. So later I get a text from her father, you know, congrats on the win, coach. I'll give it the 24-hour rule. Can we talk tomorrow? Happy to speak to you. And, you know, you just don't know how people are going to react. All right. When I got him on the phone, there's circumstances there. You know, I was very compassionate with him. Said, you know, I'm sorry if like that, you know, and understand. So he was, so what happened? And I explained it to him fact by fact. This is what I'm doing. How I explained it. He got it completely. And I said, look, I'm not hardcore, because that player made a major mistake in a game last week. But one thing I can tell you, a lot of coaches would bench a player for what happened, yell and scream, and I don't do that, okay? And they know I won't do that. I talk to them quietly, privately, or I talk to the team about what I see and what I want, okay? And I actually said to this guy, who's an ex-athlete himself, I said, nowadays, with so much going on and having been through COVID, we need to be more compassionate, okay? There's nothing wrong here. She's going to play 95% of the time. I just got to try something. He completely understood and was actually on my side, because he understood that statistically his daughter didn't do this and didn't do that. And he actually gave her hope for what she did last week in the game. That's her dad. And keep in mind, this guy's an ex-pro athlete. So the conversation was left wide open. I said, anytime you need to call me, talk to me, okay? I'm an open book. So it goes one better, all right? So when I came to practice today, she comes up to me like, coach, can I talk to you? It's like, at first I was kind of like, okay. Now, he said, look, I want to apologize for yesterday. I was emotionally reactive, and I wasn't being a good teammate on the bench, and I just wanted to apologize to you. And I said, I really appreciate it. Coming up to me and saying that. And I said, and I give you credit for talking to me. I said, you got to know there is nothing wrong. You're going to play most of the time. And I mean like 95% of the time. She goes, anytime I need to sit, I understand it, and I'll be a better teammate. So that is a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's a win for me and the team, for that young lady, because she grew up, you know, with that circumstance.
Right.
And a lot of people, sometimes they coddle those things, or they just berate. there is no middle of the road, and I earned a lot more respect of a parent who is a former professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and on top of it, I have to say this: both Westlake varsity and JV are 3-0.
Yay!
All right, we're doing well. But you know what? These circumstances like this can blow up very easily, and you know, Audrey is very good at teaching people how to communicate. I didn't discuss it with him before. I've just listened to all the different things that Audrey has set up and remember certain things. And you know, now I'm going to go work, you know, for the UN and help negotiate the world.
You know, that constructive communication, it comes up. There's two things that are across the board in with clients. And one of them is communication. Most of us really, really didn't get to learn how to constructively communicate. Most of the conversations are either, I'm not going to communicate at all, or it can be very destructive. So right. When I share with my clients on how to use this format that I put together, it helps them to get that out of their mouth and into a way where they're getting what they want in the relationship, a win-win. Because it's all about the win-win.
Yep, we like to win.
Yes.
No, of course. There needs to be a win-win. And, you know, and one of the things that the guy agreed with me on was being compassionate right now.
Oh,
yeah. We need to be more compassionate about things. Because I think people are stressed. They are potentially more reactive and more emotional. And that's adults, children, men, women, everybody.
Yeah.
And these things have to be handled the right way, because those things, if you've ever coached sports or been in, you know, business management, you know, a lose-lose looks really ugly.
It does.
You know, and, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, so I appreciate, you know, really what happened with the parent and the player, and we just take it from there. And everybody will be even happier. You know?
Right.
So, anyway.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And thank you, Audrey, because there's so much that you share about communication and how that works. That, you know, effective communication is really no drama. It's speaking factually. It's communicating how you feel and the change that you're looking for, you know, for the future. And it, if people can't get, and you've actually shared this with clients, and, you know, if people can't get effective communication, then they're not going to get any communication.
Right.
But sometimes we work with clients who are very dramatic, and some people, some backgrounds, like me being Italian, it is very lively.
Lively, yeah, is one thing. It's the words that we say, and
right,
there is a point of a tone in the voice, and there is a point of what?
Kirby. Kirby just wrote on Facebook, Pittsburgh Pirates could use me. And abuse me. Thank you, Kirby.
He also liked your haircut and is wondering why you're not wearing a jacket.
Why am I not wearing a? Because I'm wearing, look, it was 86 degrees today. All right. It really was. And I'm actually wearing shorts, nice shorts, not Nikes or anything. I'm wearing nice shorts, and I'm wearing my martini shirt. Okay? There it is.
Well, he does not drink any martinis right now. No. Just say it.
Well, and by the way, and thank you to, say another thank you to Dr. Michael McGuire, who's in the office next door, my Brandon Fravel, that was on the show a couple of weeks ago, Travel. Yeah, and I normally say it right. And, of course, Dr. Kimberly Bennett. And I've been doing things that have been set up for me and keeping with it 90% of the time. And 3 weeks ago, I started this regimen, and I've lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks.
That's great.
So thank you. And it's not a diet so that, like, in a week I go off of it. No, this is a lifestyle change where 90% of the time, and I mean that percentage wise. So if you look at like 6 days a week, you know, I'm being really strict and one day a week I'm not. Well, that's 86% of the time that I'm taking care of myself differently, you know, in what I eat. And I discovered that there are foods that just don't like me, even though I may like them. And it doesn't do me any good to put them into my system.
Right.
And some people shudder when they hear what I said. I went on a non-dairy, non-gluten, non-yeast food regimen. Notice I didn't say diet. I said a food regimen, all right? Because this is a plan. This is an agenda, and it works very well. And you find out that when you go off certain foods and all of a sudden you try it again, your body goes, oh, I don't like that. I don't want that. And so it's a choice for me. And I was telling Dr. Bennett this on the phone the other day. I don't feel like I'm looking at something going, oh my God, I wish I could have that sweet roll. It's like I'm at a different place with it. It's like, no, it's not a choice. You know, I actually want these other things because my palate has shifted.
Right.
And I feel better eating all these different things. And by the way, there are so many things I do eat and can eat. You know, I'm not deprived in any way, shape, or form. So I'll keep doing that. And at some point, I will demonstrate when I've lost, you know, 25 to 30 pounds, what it actually looks like.
All right.
Okay. All right. On to you. Timeline work. What is it? Why does it work? How do you do it?
So in my workbook that I give my clients, this tools workbook, there's all these different tools. One of them is about constructive communication that we talked about. Another one is, you know, just understanding intention, what's your attention, where's your perception. You know, those are the three rulers. There's these different tools that I have. One's about finding your balance. The biggest one is the fear into power tool. And that's that one where you're literally hypnotizing yourself and you're changing your own mind. And that is probably the number one tool. And then as you get further into the book, there is the timeline tool. And when I put these in here, it's just a reminder for my clients. I have a lot of conversation in the session. And much of the time for especially the first, second session, I'm taping it so that they can listen to it again because they get a lot of information. Then as we go forward in the sessions, almost every session, we're doing something that has to do with the timeline. Like I had four clients today and all four of them got some version of where did you learn whatever the behavior is that you're doing at this point that doesn't work for you, because we don't just come out of the womb with this behavior that we all do. There, we all do something. You know, there is something that we do that we're like, oh, you know what? I wish I didn't do this thing. I wish I didn't think this about myself or whatever the thing is. So when you can trace it back to the original point of it and understand it's either in the 0 to 8 programming, you know, the 0 to 8 years old mm-hmm. programming that we all have gotten, we're basically in the backseat of our parents' car, or it's in the experiences that we've had along the way, or it's a combination of both. So when we're doing the timeline work, there's a part of it where we are understanding what we have got going on so that the adult part of us can literally see what the little girl or the little boy took on. And then there's a part of it where having a communication with them so that they can let it go. So I wanted to share with you a little bit of a story. So many of you that have heard me talk before have heard me say that in my own 0 to 8 programming, my mother, God bless her, wasn't an intentional thing, but there was a part of it where she would say, "Ah, she's cute, but she's not that smart." I literally have it in writing where she called me the dumb one. And various things. So in my own timeline, there has been a lot of years in my life where I literally thought that I was just not that smart. So here's the story. I was going on this camping trip last week, and I'm pulling out my camping equipment from the Tupperwares, and I'm putting it in the car, and I pull out this one Tupperware, And spirit sometimes it's like, I just know I'm supposed to do something. And in this moment, I had taken out that Tupperware and there was another one underneath it. So I lift up the lid on that Tupperware and right on the very top of it is a journal that I kept for years. I took a journaling class and it was the journal. It was in a notebook. In fact, it's over in the other room. So I look at this thing and I just quickly grabbed it and I threw it in the car with everything else. And there was a part of it that on that trip, I had thought about it because I've got this workshop coming up on Saturday, but I've never really officially done my own full timeline. So I thought on this trip, I'll do my timeline. And it was just by chance that I grabbed that journal. So the interesting thing about that journal is I had it and 31 years ago, I never looked at it again because in my relationship at the time, it was my first husband. We were moving in together and I showed him this journal and I literally said to him, this is the only thing that I own that you have no access to. And then I hid it. And then he found it. He went looking for it and then he read it. And then he got angry with me for what he read in it. So I never looked at it again. I just put it aside. In fact, I didn't journal again for a long time. So the funny part about it is I still married him. Just saying. That was how, like, not bright I was at that time. I just did what I did. So I take this journal with me on my camping trip, and I start reading through it. And when I'm having people do their timelines, they're looking for where a point of origination is, why they do the things that they do. And as I was reading through it, there was a few things that really struck home even more on how I used to be with regard to how my mother put that program in, I'm not that bright. So as I'm reading through it, I'm reading how I would date guys and, oh, he's so smart. I'm going to learn a lot from him. I haven't told you some of this stuff. And I'm reading in it. I'm reading in it how I need to take classes because I need to learn. And there was an underlying thing the whole time that I never understood how capable I was, how smart I was. And it was always this need to understand things more and to learn because I needed to find a way to not be so stupid, not realizing the whole time how smart I was. So when my mother put that kind of program in there and she had said, yeah, she's cute, but she's not that smart, I never knew any different. So I'm rolling with this program until I reached the point where I understood by reading that book by Greg Braden, Divine Matrix, what intelligence actually is. So as I'm out on this camping trip and I'm looking back at that part of me, it unveiled another layer of how I had been and the need to, you know, find that place within me that was smart, that was capable. And just as a final note on that one little part, right before my mother passed, I had figured out who I am. I figured out that I was smart, that I was capable. And she's in the hospital and she's literally passing. And I was with her and this situation came up. I don't need to go into the details of it. But there was a moment for my mother where it was like I watched almost like a veil lift from her. And she looked at me at a point. She went, oh my God, you're intelligent. It was like she was so shocked. You're capable. You're wise. And she said all of these things. And it was like in my lifetime, it was the first time that she actually saw me. And the interesting thing is I looked at her and I said, and that's who I've always been. And what I've shared with clients along the way, when they have people in their life that don't see them and they want to be seen, in order for anybody to see who we are, I needed to own my intelligence. I needed to own who I was in order to show that to her. So it was a pretty powerful moment for that time with my mother and I. And it was, you know, it was like a lifetime. It's like, got it right before she passed. Yay. And so it was like, for us, the next few weeks were like a bit of the honeymoon, you know, and it was like a bit of a shift in our relationship. So that's the one thing. It was like able to look back and see that. So for those of you that have journaled in your life, take some time and go back and read them with a new perception. Look at them with new eyes. Look at them for looking for things about you that you learned back here. So as an example, I'm reading through this journal and I came across the very first time I ever got drunk. I was 15 and I was visiting my father in Hayfield Farms, Virginia. And we had gone on a double date. And this guy, my date, brought gin and he was putting in a splash of 7-Up. And I'm reading this, and that's the very first time that I had that kind of experience. And it was very interesting because I, in that experience, I did something kind of crazy. I ran from the guy. I went running through the neighborhood, and he had to go and get me and bring me back, and I could hardly walk, and I'm writing all of this stuff. I also went into my neighbors who had company over, just walked right into her house, used the restroom, and walked back out, and I got in a lot of trouble for that. And you would think, having this whole experience, that would have taught me, this isn't a good idea. But as I'm reading what I wrote, it was like, woo, this was a lot of fun. Because it changed something. So I could see where two things happened in that one moment. One, this idea of what drinking was. And two, I learned there the second that was like things happen in your life. And before I say this, I wanna back it up to show you how powerful timeline work can be. I've worked with a lot of people with their timelines. So I have all these like stories of where you can see where people get into patterns, where they create a drunk. What? Yes, it is like an onion. You're peeling things back. It's very much like that. So as an example, when I'm working with people, a lot of times they're telling me their story. They're explaining to me kind of a bit of their life. And I'm in my own mind, I'm looking for clues. I'm kind of being their private investigator. So I'm working with this client one time and they start telling me their story, and they lived in another country and they had an allergic reaction to a lice treatment that they had done. And it was at 6 years old. And she tells me, oh my gosh, it was the most incredible, horrible thing. I couldn't breathe. And my mother went into a panic. I went into a panic. And obviously she found a way to breathe and they got over it. But it was a trauma that she stored. Because when I talk with people about these moments that happen, these experiences that are traumatic, if you think about the car analogy, it's like we store them in the trunk. And the trunk, in my analogy, your heart has a brain. The trunk is the brain of your heart, and it stores memories. It stores all of this stuff. So she has this experience, and it was traumatic. And then they get over it, and she's telling me more about her experience. And then she says to me, yeah, and at 12 years old, out of nowhere, I had a panic attack, and I couldn't breathe. So her mother takes her to the doctor, and at 12 years old, they teach her, here's some meds. This will fix you. And by the way, her issue was drugs and alcohol. So then she's telling me, so things were good for a long time. And then out of nowhere, she has another experience at 18 where she has another panic attack and she literally is having trouble breathing. So, and being the detective that I am, I'm listening to this and I'm like, 6, 12, 18. And I looked at her and I said, did something happen when you were born that maybe the umbilical cord was wrapped around your neck or something? Because all of these things are a pattern at this point, and it's about not breathing. And she looks at me and she goes, no, but when I was 3 weeks old, I had the whooping cough. So there it is. Here's the original trauma. She locks and loads it at 6. At 12, they really lock and load it, and they throw in, oh, meds will fix you. And then it goes on. And literally, we could see the pattern, even going further than 18. So when you're looking at this, you're understanding that it's not who you are. It's literally what we have taken on as our experience in life, and we've created it as a program that we're running. So when we're doing the timeline work, what we're doing is we're stepping back and not with judgment. We eliminate the judgment, and you're looking at it with compassion, looking to gain understanding so you can say, I don't want to be an alcoholic anymore. Or I don't want to eat like this anymore. I don't want to be nasty to people anymore. I don't want to suppress my emotions anymore. I literally want to live a full out life, and I want to understand why I'm doing these things that I don't like what I'm doing. So when we're doing this process of the timeline, and when I do it on Saturday, it's a 10-to-4 process. So I make it fun at the beginning, and I'm giving information and I'm sharing interesting stuff that leads up to here's the tools. And then we're going to be doing some hypnosis. We're going to be doing some introspective work. And by the time the day is over, there's a lot of letting go. And I've had people doing this kind of workshop before be like, I feel different. I feel like a weight is off of my chest. I feel like things are off of my shoulders. My stomach feels better. When we're holding on to these things that have happened in our past, it literally lodges in places in our body. So that's another part of it. And there's one more thing. And this is one of those things where in session, it can change a person's life overnight, like in a minute. When we're in what I call the choice point, and I got this from Greg Braden. He wrote a really great book about timelines, and it's called The Fractal Time. It's a really good book. So some of his information is part of the foundation of what I do. So if you've never read Greg Braden before, check him out. He's amazing. So it's on Saturday, Kim, from 10 to 4. And I owe you a phone call just saying, I can't meet with you on Friday, but I could meet with you on Sunday. Just say it. At any rate, one of the important parts, and this is something that a lot of people really resonate with, and it literally will change it overnight. You're in this moment right here, right now. So everything that ever happened in your timeline, everything back to zero, it no longer is happening. And the only place that it resides is here and here. So when you are in the choice point and you're saying, I am choosing, my intention is, I am being this kind of person. I'm going to create these kind of habits. I'm going to own my power in whatever way that looks. You're here. So anything that ever happened was with the old consciousness that you had at the time. And unless there's any consequences, for the most part, the only place that it resides is here and here. But people have a tendency to take what happened back here and carry it with them. And there might be somebody watching this, and you know who you are, and I'm allowed to use your story. In their timeline, the first session with me, she comes in and she tells me the timeline. Here's the back here. She's telling me all about this situation that she had in her relationship and going through a divorce, and it was really hard and it was really bad. And it was all these things. And I was like, finally, I looked at her and I was like, when was this? And she's like, and I mean with like pride almost going, well, 8 years ago. And I looked at her and it's like, so what happened back 8 years ago? You're telling me like it happened yesterday. You've been literally carrying this and owning the anger of it, the rage of it, the indignation of it for all of this time. And she looked at me and it was like, again, an instant thing like, I never realized it. So it was a short process actually to let go of that and to be done with it. And it was such a relief for her. So for all of you, doing your own timeline, take some time for yourself and look at your moment right now, where you're at in the moment. Is there anything that you're holding on to that happened way back here? And you're still acting like it, like is still hurting. It is still hurting. And the one last thing I want to say about this before we open it up for any questions out of anybody, or if Nick wants to say his own experience that I know that he had. The other part of the timeline is when you're in this choice point now, and there's people in your life that did whatever they did back here. A lot of times we think of somebody as they're that person. And we don't allow them the opportunity to grow up. We continue to say, well, you did this back here. I know, but I apologize for it. Nope, you hurt me back there, or you are that person that you were back here. And they don't allow for people to grow up and people to change and people to be the better version of themselves. So I think especially, as Nick was saying before, in this moment, when we have all undergone such a trauma and it has opened us up and we're all rather raw from it, really being in this moment of choice and having compassion for each other and allowing for people to grow up, allowing for people to change, allowing for people to be the better version of themselves. And that doesn't mean that you allow for them to treat you badly or anything. It means that in this moment, you're saying, I'm going to hold my ground here and I'm going to constructively communicate from this point forward each other. So you're doing a process of letting go of what happened back here so that you can be fully with each other and creating a future that is much better than you thought it would ever be. Make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
That was long-winded.
Well, it's very good. And you know, as you were saying, that a lot of people just don't realize that they're carrying this, that it is a pattern.
Right.
A recurring pattern. They just go about their life experiencing what they experience. And a lot of times, you know, bringing into play the victimization of, you know, just feeling that they're at the whimsy of whatever goes on.
Right.
You know, I've said to a lot of people, you know, whoever that person is, it's like, you know, the gods are not up on Mount Olympus with lightning bolts going, okay, we're going to screw the modern day. You know, it just doesn't work like that. And the things that happen to us in our upbringing and our conditioning, they do matter. And it's a matter of, however, that we are not, you know, we're not stuck with that. You know, as Audrey was saying, the first 8 years of our life, we develop suggestibility. That's how we learn and take information. That's by the mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the mother is a worrier or a fretter of some kind, then we grow up like that. Audrey was saying that we're in the backseat of the parents' car. They're in control. You know, I say it from the standpoint of, you know, our parents write our subconscious script. But we can rewrite that by doing work. One of the things that I have found, and I do give timeline homework to do, it's amazing how many people are resistant to doing it because they have to sit down and they have to write this out.
Well, to be clear, it's sometimes painful if they think, I have to relive all of this. I have to look at it. I have to look at it and say I did something wrong or I was bad. To be clear, when I was on my little adventure last week in the woods and I'm reading this stuff, there was a part of it was like, God. And there were things that I had forgotten. I mean, I had not picked up that journal for 31 years. And there were things that I read that I did and I was on a level embarrassed. And I was like, geez, I used to be so flippin' unconscious. I did stupid things. Well, because I was trained to do stupid things. And I wouldn't.
You were told.
Yeah.
And you believed that.
I totally believed it. I mean, I was told in many ways. And there's literally in writing from one family member to another, how is she going to manage in life? You know, they literally thought right. that I was incapable of managing myself. So when you're looking at the timeline and I'm like there on my camping trip, was a part of it. I just was like, I don't want to look at this anymore. Oh, but I got to look at it, you know? And then I had to continue to recognize my own judgment and my embarrassment and continue to let that go. Because like I tell my clients, I'm no longer that consciousness. I am the person, but I don't think like that. I don't live like that. I don't do those things anymore. And there's a part of it where I really had to let it go for me. There's a word that comes into play here, and it's forgiveness, right? But on a level, there was nothing to forgive. It was just what happened at the time. It wasn't intentional. It was just what happened. So when we understand there's no right or wrong, it's just what it was. You're taking that element out where we hold on to it and say, well, I was treated like this, or I did this to somebody else. Like I've had people, they did whatever back here. And they'll come in and they'll be like, oh, I did whatever. And I look at them and I'll be like, if you went to jail for it, how long would you be in jail? And they look at me like, well, I don't think I would have even gone to jail. And I'm like, well, just say you would have gone to jail. How long would you have been in jail for doing that thing? Like somebody cheated on somebody and they feel horrible. They never, you know, told them, they broke up with them because they felt so bad about it, but they never said anything. And it was like this thing weighing on them, or it could be in a million different things. So I'll literally say, how long would you have gone to jail? I don't know, maybe overnight, maybe a week, maybe a year, depending on what the thing somebody did. And then it's like, well, all right, so if you had gone to jail, you would have been out of jail 9 years ago. And you're still holding your heart in jail. So the other reason why all of this is so important, if you think about your heart, that's the main number one thing of you. That's the main number one part of your body. And it has that brain in it. So when the brain gets full of trauma, when the heart gets full of trauma, and that's where you're coming from, you're not creatively making your life excellent. You're creating from a place of trauma. And when people say, oh, you know, it's really hard to let go of that, it's not as hard to let go of it when you take out the judgment and when you're coming from compassion. And Miss Jennifer, it is still hard for me to write it on a timeline. So many emotions come up and I run from it. That was my thing. I ran. I learned how to run in something in second grade, and I ran again when I got drunk. And I had run many other times, literally and figuratively. I even wrote in my journal, I've got to stop running. There's a line where I wrote it, and I'm going to post that tomorrow. I've got to stop running and really face this. I didn't at that time. I wish I had. It would have made things better sooner. So I get it that it is a lot to write that down, and that's why I'm creating this workshop. When you're around other people and you're looking at your stuff, and sometimes when you're looking at your stuff with other people looking at their stuff, it's like, a lot of times your stuff isn't as bad as you think it is.
Right, exactly.
So, Jen, you're welcome to be here on Saturday.
So you're not going to run anymore. And in a moment, we're not going to talk anymore.
We're going to run.
Yeah, we are going to run. Audrey, for anyone who wants to take the workshop this Saturday, how do they get in touch with you? What do they need to know?
You can call me at 818-665-6165. Or you can email me at anewmont@gmail.com, or you can text me. Texting is fine. And for the workshop, it's from 10 to 4. I promise I'm going to make it very nice. We're going to have a lovely lunch. Mm-hmm. It's going to be social distanced. And I can almost guarantee as you're leaving, you will feel so much better, and your life will be better. This is one of those seriously transformative events that I do. So I've had a lot of people have some amazing experiences with it. So it's $135 for the day, and I have just a few more spots open. So let me know if you're interested.
And before we part next week, because of on the show, because Audrey is presenting the crystal artwork class on April the 10th, next week's show is going to be all about crystals.
Yes.
Okay. and what you can do with them and so on and so forth. And that'll be a very, you know, show and tell kind of show on the screen. Anyway, Audrey, great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what she's talking about really works. If you can't make the workshop, then get in touch with Audrey for a private session. And she will work you through it.
And I do private sessions via Zoom as well. So if you're in another state or another country,
what kind of
all
state?
Of this, if you're in a mental state.
Anyway, folks, we've got to go. It's time. Thank you for watching Mainstream Metaphysics with Audrey and myself.
Thanks to Ronan.
Yes, as always, and thank you for those of you that have been writing on Facebook. And as always, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we will see you soon, especially next Tuesday night, right back here on Ellen.
And please share with your friends.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick and Audrey Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.